Welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night, the fastest 2 hours in radio, and I am your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. We're going to continue our conversation, talking college football, with Freddie Coleman from ESPN Radio. Hey, not to digress a bit, but I mean, do you ever think about, I think about my Sooners, Oklahoma, you know, they had their struggles defensively. You think there's any, like, regret in terms of letting Brent Venables get away and that they probably should have retained him, or...
Well, there's always going to be regret when you let somebody get away because, for example, I went to Alabama feel that way. Let's say if Lane Kiffin leaves and he joins Ed Orgeron as offensive coordinator at LSU, now that Ed Orgeron is the head coach, because Lane Kiffin, no matter what you think about him, he's been able to really resurrect his coaching career by what he's done at Alabama. He's really changed that offense where no matter what quarterback they've had, they've been able to be a dynamic and multiple offense that can score points in bunches or can wear you down with their physicality and take time off the clock and keep your defense on the field. So there's always going to be a little remorse because Brent Venables is highly regarded. If Clemson did not take him away from Oklahoma, probably somebody else would have been able to do the same thing. So, yeah, you have to do that. But then when you have a program like Oklahoma, you know you're going to lose coaches that are going to go somewhere else to be better coordinators or improve their position to be a head coach. Bob Stoops and Nick Saban and guys like that know that's going to happen. But that doesn't mean you don't have a lifeline and a pipeline of coaches ready to take that person's place. And look at Oklahoma's defense this year. Outside the first game against Ohio State, their defense has been pretty good all season long.
Okay, you're listening to the voice of Freddie Coleman from ESPN Radio. He is always a Big E favorite right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We would love to connect with you. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports, and always twice as nice. Go to podcastarena.com. That is podcastarena.com. Not only check out our program, but all of our amazing hosts right here at our network. Now, Freddie Coleman, you were just talking about Lane Kiffin, the amazing job that he has done at Alabama, and there is a new head coaching vacancy at Oregon. You think he'd fit in nicely there in the Pac-12?
Oh, he would fit perfectly there because he knows that league. When he was a head coach at USC, what he was able to do, I mean, offensive coordinator at USC as well. So he knows that league and he knows that landscape, how to recruit. And that would be very enticing to be back in the league where you got USC really starting to get things going under their coach Clay Helton and outstanding quarterback Sam Darnold. You know Lane Kiffin would love nothing better to get back in the Pac-12 and at Oregon where they have all that Nike Field of Night money where he won't have to worry about resources or not having things available to him. I just wonder if Oregon's going to take a chance on him. And what I mean by that is I think they have to wonder what kind of Lane Kiffin are we getting. Are we getting the guy that seemed to have revitalized his career being the offensive coordinator of Alabama? Or are we going to get the Lane Kiffin that left after 1 year at Tennessee and then left in disgrace with USC? What happened getting fired on the tarmac at the airport when they lost to Arizona State? I think there's still kind of a wait see with Lane Kiffin, so I don't know if Oregon wants that kind of person. But if you want a dynamic guy that's a dynamic offensive guy, and you knew how that worked with Chip Kelly and Mike Bellotti before him, he can be very appealing, especially if you're Oregon, wanted to make sure you keep up in the arms race at the Pac-12.
What do you think is the perception of the Oregon job? Because I think, I mean, you talk about the facilities, all they have to offer, that would be just very enticing to want to be there.
So it's a great job, even though they're not in a big city, but they are the team. They are the pro team in that state. And that's why it was very strange to me why they fired Mark Helfrich, because he won 37 games in 4 years. He won 33 games in his first 3 years. And he played for a national championship against Ohio State barely 2 years ago. So I don't think he became a dumb coach over the last couple of years, because I think they failed to realize how many injuries they had in the offensive line and the defense. And once he got his quarterback to play, the freshman quarterback, he played extremely well. It was just one of those years that everything that could go wrong did go wrong against your team. It seems to me that Oregon was looking for so many ways to move what they felt was too nice of a guy out of their program, even though Mark Helfrich grew up in that state and this was his dream job. So this is a plump job for all the resources. You can have everything at your disposal. But I just wonder how much they may regret not giving Mark Helfrich one more year, because I still think he was the right man for the job.
Okay, Freddie Coleman with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And since we're on topic about the Big 12 Conference, some say that there's an East Coast bias against the Pac-12. Do you agree with that, true or false? I mean, what do you think? I mean, do they get the short end of the stick?
They always do. I mean, and believe me, I'm an East Coast person, and I'm blessed that I have a chance to work a night show. I get a chance to see a lot of West Coast basketball,
Coast
football, and West Coast baseball. A lot of people can't stay up to watch those games. And to me, you can no longer use that as an excuse, because there's so many things available that you can watch games and see the highlights the next day and get a good idea of how good Pac-12 basketball is, Pac-12 football is. Even Big 12 schools suffer by that because there are two time zones in a lot of places behind the East Coast time zones. So I think a lot of that is very, very valid. And when everybody says you guys at ESPN or SB Nation, you have a bias against West Coast teams, I'm not going to say that they're lying because plenty of us in the media that work for both our networks mm-hmm. don't get a chance to stay up and watch those teams. And I think those teams lose a lot in terms of, man. For example, I don't think people realize how good Colorado is. They're a terrific football
team. That's right, yeah.
What Mike McIntyre has been able to do, turning that program around, that was a downtrodden program before this year. But if you haven't seen them play or you don't stay late enough on Saturday night to see them play, you don't have any idea how good that football team is. And I wonder how much of that has factored into a lot of kind of a looking sideways at Washington, because I wonder how many committee members have actually seen them play a full game outside of loss to USC.
Okay, we've hit on a lot of different storylines in college football. One that stands out, of course, is right here in the Big 12 Conference and the firing of the former head coach at the University of Texas, and that is Charlie Strong. My heart really goes out to him. I think he's such a great guy and a terrific coach, and hope he lands on his feet real soon. What was your reaction when you heard the news? Was this the right move? Did you agree with it? Did they pull the trigger too quick? What are your thoughts, Freddie?
Well, I was not surprised, because the minute that it started to go a little bit sideways for Texas, a lot of people that didn't want him there in the first place, Melissa, this is what they wanted, to move him out of the way. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, you can't lose to Kansas. You can't have three straight losing seasons. So yeah. We can't just say that, okay, they should have kept Charlie Strong. I clearly understand why they made this move, because when you're Texas, you're the Kentucky of football when you think about it. Kentucky basketball, if they had those kind of seasons, there's no way a coach is going to survive that. At certain programs, you have to be a championship contender, or at least have the feeling that you are going to be a championship contender, that you're going to be in the mix for the Big 12 championship and the college football playoff. And that was not the case with Charlie Strong for 3 years. But when you had too much division, or plenty of division, where it seemed to be Charlie Strong and maybe a couple of people over here and everybody else against him on the other side, it's kind of hard to win that way, because the players understand that. The players feel that, and the players know that. So the players went out there, and even he said before the last game against TCU, guys, just go out and play. Don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about my job status. But it's hard for an 18- to 22-year-old to do that when they are saying, man, if we don't play well, that guy who we love is going to lose his job. That's no way for any 18- to 22-year-old to play in an already pressurized situation that is college football. So they got that. They believe they got the right guy in Tom Herman, and I believe that as well. But honestly, I don't think Charlie Strong had a chance when there were so many people that, A, did not want to be there, and so many people wanted him to fail anyway.
Okay, so what's going to be next for Charlie Strong?
Well, that's a good question. I could see him being a head coach maybe after the next season. I could see that.
Maybe take a year off.
Yeah, he's still highly regarded for his defensive mind, and by the way, he is a leader of men. Those are very attractive qualities, and I don't think he became a bad coach at Texas. I think that was an unwinnable situation outside of winning a national championship, because look what he did at Louisville before he got the Texas job. So we know he can coach. We know he can be a successful head coach in college football. I think the opportunity will come along, but they'll probably have to wait a year after when somebody says, I need Charlie Strong to turn around this program and clean things up.
Okay, Freddie Coleman has been with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Check him out. Freddie, where can our listeners even connect with you and listen to you at the late night?
Yeah, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Monday through Friday with me and my man Ian Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio.
Sweet.
And also the ESPN app, and also on Twitter at Coleman ESPN.
Oh, Freddie, we wish you a speedy recovery, and thank you so much for carving out some time. I know you're under the weather. Very much appreciate your insight. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure, friend. You have a great weekend as well.
You bet. Much more coming your way right here in Hour Number 1 at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You stay close.